The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen, hour two of the National Intel Report on this 10th day of June 2010. And we'll get to your calls here in a minute. The reason I spent an hour building up to this is I want to talk to you about something very, very important. And that's the future of this network. It's the future of this country. It's the future of the universe. And what else can I throw into this? Well, let's just stick with the network. If you've been listening for the past several days, you've probably have heard some rather startling stuff and maybe a bit of contention. I chalk that up as being growing pains. And we're kind of like this pupa that's turned into the larvae that's turning into the butterfly. And we're getting ready. Our wings are getting spread and are filling them up with blood and they're drying out. And don't touch my wings because I won't fly again. But we're getting ready to spread the wings and fly places that we never have before. Ah, I know he's getting around to it. Here it comes. Here it comes. The contention that has been somewhat noticeable to people is a very healthy thing. Because when you have people that are going for the same thing, you might have a little disagreement on how you get there, but you know you got to go there and go you must. And get your stuff, we're going. And how to be most effective, that is the trick. And I was serious the other day when I said that I am going to become a nicer person on the air. Goes totally against my grain. I'm an equal opportunity hater. I hate everybody. Just leave me alone. I'm so narcissistic. The reason why I started this entire network to free a country is because I just want to be left alone, damn it. No, that's not quite it. Oh, that's involved. Yeah. I'm a person, too. And I deserve freedom and liberty. Not as my fellow countrymen deserves it, but I think people worldwide deserve it. This is what they've been, I think, striving for thousands of years. And here we are with the, as some have called it, the grand experiment that is about to be folded up, quietly tucked away, and forgot about forever. Us. In a short span of 235 years, something like that. We have raised, we have come to the pinnacle absolute of power, of monetary wealth, of biggest guns on the planet to don't mess with us, to literally watching it all fall apart. So now we got this network, and it is a tool. So what best way to implement that tool to get the maximum benefit? Ah, there's the trick. In some subject matter that's been discussed on this network for the past week, I consider this to be a healthy growth pattern. And we'll take this break here, and we'll come back on the other side. We'll roll your calls, 800-313-9443. Here's the question. How best to bypass those filters, to get to the cortex of the people's thinking gray matter out there without angering them to the point that they don't want to listen to you anymore? That's the question. We'll be back.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut, it's working on the liver, it's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Every day, RBN's mission is to use our collective voice to spread truth and relevant information for daily survival against the growing erosion of our constitutional rights and the growing tyranny in our government. But truth, like freedom, isn't free. The truth is, RBN needs your support against the growing evil forces in our government that are moving quickly to bring our nation down. If you agree with the mission of RBN and one unifying voice, please stand with us by donating any amount you can afford. Your support will also help us launch a new elected representative network that will be totally listener-supported and commercial-free. To donate, visit republicbroadcasting.org, call 800-724-2719, or mail your donation to Republic Broadcasting, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth. Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Larry in L.A., and I take it that's not Lower Alabama or Los Angeles. That must be Louisiana.
Right in the middle of the state, John.
How you
used the metaphor that they might not have enough money to pay for the higher education. Well, I think most of the people you're waking up really don't want to send their children to the Higher Institute of Mind Control just to pay to get a permit to do that which would otherwise be illegal, which is a license.
That's a conversion of a right to a privilege. You know the best way, Larry, by the way, I got to tell you this, the best way I've heard explained very simply that most people will get it between a right and a privilege. On your property, you have the right to do whatever you want with your property. Now, if you live in a crowded neighborhood, you can't walk around your property naked, but some people might complain. But you can do what you will on your own property. Now, you step off your property and you cross that property line, you're on your neighbor's property, you shouldn't be there without his okay or permission. And I found that to be the best explanation between a right and a privilege. If I am using somebody else's stuff, I got to get their permission. Otherwise, I'm just a robber and a person that doesn't respect the other person. But at any rate, that was a little side note.
Well, if I want to learn something, I look for a man who don't have a degree because he might know something.
Well, yeah, I don't think that applies to all, but I know where you're coming from on that one. And I'll go back to what I said yesterday, the great line out of the movie Jaws that scared the snot out of everybody was the captain looked at the college boy and he says, I know one thing about you college boys, you don't know when you're wrong. You won't say that you're wrong, and you'll never admit that you're wrong. You got that much education.
Now, on your question to open up the gray matter, if they keep them away from that control mind box, the higher education system, because they are there to suppress using your own mind. So if you keep them away from it, there's a better chance of them opening their own gray matter minds.
And they develop naturally without undue propaganda and influence?
Exactly.
I am a ninth grade dropout. And I doubt, I'm going to tell you something, Larry, if I would have went I graduated from high school and went to college and I got my degree and I went on for my bachelor's and master's in whatever field, which I almost did in electronics, and it turns out that I hated computers after I found out how the damn things worked. But at any rate, I don't know what would have happened to me. I would have been just another in the matrix, ground up to produce whatever and generate tax and whatever, and that would have been it.
That's exactly right. Okay, good program today.
Thank you, Larry. I appreciate your call.
See ya.
See ya. Dave in Wisconsin. Hello, Dave.
Afternoon, John.
Hi.
Yeah, I think you're doing the right thing just as you're going along, and I think that things will grow exponentially because of the interesting subject matter that is brought forward just with the way your format is handled, the way you manage it now. As for example, in most cases, you offer whoever calls in an opportunity to make a point. And I would like to do that at this time.
Please do.
There's a British newspaper that's called Mail Online. And there's a very interesting article in there that's posted very, very close to the bottom of the article. And it has this title. And incidentally, there's a photo of Prince Charles Windsor. But the title of the article is, quote, Follow the Islamic Way to Save the World. And it is a most interesting article.
You know, I heard Dave Champion show today as I was driving around Round Rock, and he was talking about the Islamic Way, about, you know, their Quran has an answer for everything. Everything that's in your life, economically, spiritually, everything, they've got an answer. And that the Islamic people want to take over the entire planet. Now, I don't know if I go as far as to believe the Islam wants to take over the entire planet. I think we've been Islamed enough because of our involvement in the Middle East.
Well,
go ahead.
My research compels me to be concerned about that the Windsor family is right now aggressively gaining power and property and control, because since 1953, Elizabeth Windsor took an oath of office, gave an oath of office that she would defend the Christian faith explicitly. But these are apostates, and that's important to understand. And if there's anything that exemplifies that Charles Windsor does not in any way stand for Christianity, this article will be clear there for anyone to read and look at and see what a fraud and fake he is.
Yeah, any more than the Bronfman family is or supporters of Mothers Against Drunk Drivers.
Yeah, exactly. It's gotcha. The same type of hypocrisy. It's just blatant hypocrisy. But anyway, I applaud the way you're managing your station, and I did, after my visit at your studio there, I did get over to Austin and I got those files about people in Texas that have money coming. So maybe one other thing that might grow the station is if I get that disc over to you and you could announce different people that could call the Department of Financial Institutions over at Austin, and they could go and claim their money that the Treasury there is holding on their behalf.
Send it on down, Dave.
All right.
Rather than having people sign up for that TV offer, that there's money out there for you. And they take a fee, and then they discover there's no money for you. Well, you can do it for yourself. Good tip. The point that I would like to bring up is we got a message, and it's going out to mainstream America. And what is the best way to package that message to make it the most effective without scaring the living daylights out of people that want to get involved? And the answer to that question, very carefully. And I have been giving this quite a bit of thought. Now, there are some of you out there that when I make a program change on this network, Carol, you're one of them. If you're listening to the program today, I found him a home over at the MicroEffect Network. And some people didn't like that. They really liked Truot. Well, I like Truot as well. And he's a very bright guy. A lot of information. But I sensed that there needed to be a change. And he got down the rabbit hole on some issues that I would look at this from the standpoint of my knowledge base versus the standpoint of the public's knowledge base. And when you go talking about, like, David Icke, I've said of David Icke, I think I interviewed this guy one time. I won't interview him again. I might do a story on David Icke. He's got a real handle on the powers that be and the New World Order and all that other stuff. But he puts in his repertoire, if you will, a little ticking time bomb that discredits him to those that hear of David Icke or listening to the message, and all of a sudden, you know, they're shape-shifting lizard people. Mm-mm. He believes that. He thoroughly believes that. And to my way of thinking, to the generally dumb public out there that still didn't know that Walter Cronkite was really on the other side, how does that message go down with them? So I brought up Jenny Hodges and Jerry DeMars, two that have been working out of Atlanta, 50,000 water down in Atlanta. Knowledgeable? Yes. Palatable to Class 101? What the heck am I listening to? And I'm actually learning something, and I'm enjoying it. That is a decision that I did not want to make, but I felt that I was compelled to. Now, there is subject matter that we talk about, and we've got people on a network that don't agree with me or don't see my viewpoint, and that's fine. God help this world if everybody was like me. Oh, man. It would be either nirvana or total living hell. Dan in Illinois. Hello, Dan.
Hello.
Hi.
Change you.
Change you?
Change you. And you know what? If you changed one iota, I would have nothing to listen to. Your show, excellent, what you were trying to do to your show, and whatever, hold my tongue, didn't allow that to happen. Maybe it's a shapeshifter. You got a great show, brother.
Well, I appreciate that, Dan.
Getting things out there, you know, the people will call into your show when they come up with stupid stuff, boom, you just tell them like it is. I like that, you know, opposed to, and I've called into your show, said stupid shit, and like, wow.
You just did. Right. You just did.
Right? Yeah, sorry.
Gotta let you go, Dan. Until we get the delay and no more of that, hey, just shucks and jives, and I'm digging my toe in the dirt, and how the heck are you, and blah, blah, blah. Situational awareness. Where are you at?
Men, are you thinking about the health of your prostate? Recently, New Vitality Health Products gave away thousands of free bottles of the supplement Beta Prostate. Due to incredible demand, they're giving away more free bottles of Beta Prostate to any new customers who call now. Beta Prostate is packed with plant sterols that support your prostate health. Remember, your prostate affects urine flow, sleeping habits, intimacy, and overall quality of life. Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same natural plant sterols as one Beta Prostate. And if you haven't tried Beta Prostate yet, you can call right now for a free bottle. You only pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-790-6293. This offer is limited to one free bottle per household. Give your body nutrition that targets the prostate. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-790-6293 and be sure to click on our banner at www.republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you ever wish that you could have done something while you still had the chance? What will you do if your income ends tomorrow? Or if you lose your home, as many already have? Do you have enough money to survive through an economic depression? If you don't want to gamble with your future, then freetoprosper.com can help you quickly end your debt problems, protect your property and possessions, and develop a personal strategy to get you through the hard times. Most importantly, you get to keep your money and not pay another cent to creditors. Our program is often superior to bankruptcy, consolidation, or settlement. Visit freetoprosper.com to find out more. This is your real chance to act ahead, so don't delay. Your future may depend on it. Call 718-615-0123 to learn more. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit freetoprosper.com today.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Did you pull that pot down? Were people able to hear my molars cracking? Vince in Indiana. Hello. Hello, Vince.
Hello, John. How are you?
I'm doing well.
I tell you what, I enjoy always listening to your programs because you always give an interesting perspective on things. And I empathize with you when you have to make decisions every now and then, but yeah, you do it for the betterment of your whole company there, and for your what kind of product you're wanting to put out. So it's one of those tough decisions, and you can't really look over your shoulder or look behind you. You just got to keep going. So
well, and the interesting thing is, I've had enough people in the last 2 weeks contact me that want to do radio programming. I could have filled up another bird.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really want to get into, we've got 19 birds out there and we're only able to put the product of one network. I mean, from a standpoint, if I had that kind of money to pick and choose as what programming went out there, that'd make my life easier. But I don't want to go that route because I've learned to squeeze George until his paper eyeballs pop out of his head.
Uh-huh.
And I want to keep this close to the vest, come up with one product and put it out there. And it's not easy to do because if you get to Milk Toasty, the people that have listened to this network since its inception or listened to me for 19 years, God help them, Go, what happened to Stadtmiller? You know, what's he doing? And then the rumors start. See, I told you the guy's a sellout just when, you know, and the rumor and all that. And it's like people are very fertile with their imaginations. All they have to do is call me. That toll-free number to this network, I'm here every single day, and I speak to more people. And they're always amazed if they call, I'm not here, and I actually return a call. Because I'm one of those hands-on people kind of guys. If somebody wants to take the time and the effort to call me, and it's important enough for them to call, I'll call them back. Hey, what's up? What do you know? What's going on?
I wanted to share a thought with you, because, and the reason why, I noticed there's a big, our local governments and our state governments have been pushing the area of crime fighting over to private corporations.
Yeah.
And private police departments who don't have a lot of regard for our constitutional values.
They got a job to do, and they'll do the job that they're told to do because they're going to get that paycheck.
Mm-hmm. But, because, I mean, I point to something here, this the case with the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, where they let the NFL punish him. And
they suspended him for 4 games, but he's back in camp. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mr. Roethlisberger, with all of his money and his good looks and his youth, thought that he was King Kong with the ladies, and he got caught, and one of the young ladies complained.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, I that's why I keep emphasizing, you know, trial by jury and, you know, the Sixth and Seventh Amendments of the United States Constitution, you know, because many states hold the trial by jury and the decisions rendered by juries, what they call inviolate, and that's a Latin term for, and once that decision is made by those juries, that cannot be questioned in another court.
Right.
Unless, I guess in criminal courts, unless they're the person's, the defendant's, you know, constitutional, you know, guarantees of liberty.
If you lose the case, you have the right of appeal. If they lose the case, they can't put you in double jeopardy, charging you for the same crime.
Yeah, they can't charge you with the same crime.
Right.
Again.
They get one shot at it. The accused, they get a couple shots.
Get a couple shots, and that's. But outside, you know. But you know, that's why I always stress trial by jury, and but I think you're going to see that go by the wayside. They're not going to go out and, you know, say one day we're changing the Constitution. What they're going to do is what they do now under, I believe, in Georgia and Indiana and New Hampshire and even in Texas and Louisiana and many states on the civil side. You have to have if you have a civil claim, it has to meet the $25,000 threshold. Yeah. So if you have something that, you know, some business, you know, ripped you off for $5,000 and their product didn't do their job, you either have to go to their arbitration,
right,
or go to small claims.
Right.
And the small claims judge is mandated by state statutes, and they have to decide, you know, based on the guidelines that the state legislature throws down on them.
Right.
So, if you, the plaintiff, don't meet those certain standards, they'll throw that claim out.
That's right.
Even on minor technicalities. So, and that's just, I sit there and tell people that the small claims courts are illegal because they're not courts of equity. And I tell them the same thing about, you know, magistrate judges and these arbitration panels or arbitrators, whatever you want to call
it. Your point about Ben Roethlisberger, that the commissioner of the NFL put him on trial and he passed down his own personal sentence.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why you can do that. The reason is he signed a contract. It's got stipulation on conduct, and he broke the rules.
Yes, he did. So.
There you go.
He got caught.
He got caught.
But there are other things that they're, you know, the government is doing, and that's.
Oh no, I understand that. Got to run, Vince. Break's coming.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
Them that's not shall lose. So the Bible says, and it still is news. Mama may have, and Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own will. That's got his own.
Ah, yeah. Boy, how old is that song? That song goes back to the days of Billie Holiday. That has been done a few times over. Blood, Sweat, and Tears did that back in the 60s. A remake. At any rate, Lester in Ohio. Hello, Lester.
Yeah, how we doing tonight, John?
Pretty good.
I try to turn people onto the station and all that, and everybody on there. But a long time ago, I listened to a man give a speech. At the end of his speech, he said, if I've done nothing more than take and make you think, I've accomplished something. And, I went to school. School meeting, not that I have any children, but I tried to enlighten them a little, and I told him there, I says, you know, is all I'm doing, trying to do here is kickstart one brain cell. If I can get one brain cell going, it can kickstart another one. And so, you know, it's a learning experience, John. We're all out here learning, and I could go into a lot of things out here that are going on, but.
Well, and that's more of the bad news. And we're up to our eyeballs with the bad news, and I've been working toward those solution ends. And how is the biggest, best, baddest way to wield the message? Well, it's through radio. It is.
Well, what I'm saying is, okay. You know how Paz Derek talks about things. You know, he gets into things. He's learning and getting into things really deep.
I just talked to Paz yesterday, and I pulled a foolie on him. I called up as if I was the head office of personnel for the Los Angeles Rams, and I said, I understand that you're still active and we need an offensive lineman. It didn't fool him, him being an ex-Dallas Cowboy.
he's a good guy now. I like him.
He is, I'll tell you what, that guy, when I first started talking to him, he kind of blew me away because I didn't know an ex-NFL player had two brain cells that synapsed and talked to each other. And when I saw him crawling out of the hole that I would call a door wall, and he had to duck to get through it, he's only 6'9".
I know, he's just a little kid.
Yeah, and his voice and the presence of this guy, and he has not stopped. As you just pointed out, Lester, and thank you for making that point, he's growing.
And yeah, he's been interesting to watch.
Yeah.
You know, I wish we could get a few million of him out here, and I try to take, you know, college kids, hey, check this kid out.
Yeah. And he was a graduate of Notre Dame, summa cum laude, I think. He graduated with, and he is an expert on Tesla. And he's is it Slovakian? And he doesn't take any crap from anybody.
Yeah, he's so you say he's an expert on Tesla, huh?
Yes, sir, he is. And he has got what I would consider to be a photographic mind. When that guy reads something, it sticks in his gray matter like fly to fly paper.
Yeah, I wish I was that way.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Me when I was younger.
Yeah, well, hey, you know, it's like I said earlier, I'm not ever going to get old. My body is just going to give out on me because I'm never going to stop growing mentally. Physically, that's going to go by the wayside, as it's going to for all of us. But, you know, the day that I think that I know it all and I'm there and you can't tell me nothing is the day I need to find another job.
Well, John, my body did kind of give out on me.
Well, you're still kicking unless this is Memorex.
My brain ain't yet. No, I mean physically my body did.
No, I understand that.
But, you know... Yeah, I had a kid tell me, being found I'm disabled, you're lucky. You're over 50. You're too old to re-educate. Can you imagine that?
You think?
Yeah. I had to get a big kick out of that one. Now, come on.
All right, hey Lester, I appreciate your call, my friend.
Call back when you graduate.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
I understand.
Okay.
Thanks, Lester. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm serious, folks. I'll tell you, I can be pretty strong-willed and strong-minded, and I can be all of those things. And I've got a back that bends as well. And I am going to do what needs to be done. And because there ain't nobody else doing it the way we're doing it. That's for sure. Ed in Canada. Hello, Ed.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm really enjoying your show. You got a couple of real things there that actually strike me as being quite personal. Things like you mentioned wives leaving husbands and this sort of thing. Mm. Well, back in the 1970s, the late 70s, when I was dating my wife, she almost dumped me because I was reading stuff like None Dare Call It Treason and None Dare Call It Conspiracy.
Oh, my goodness.
She thought I was a little out of my mind when I was talking about these things.
Now, don't burst my bubble here, Ed. She didn't take the approach that, well, I'll straighten him out.
No.
Oh, okay, good.
No.
All right.
Well, then I got something for you here. You're always expanding your knowledge. I had a friend of mine send me a video. It's by Walter Veith. He's from South Africa. And it's also available on YouTube. And it's called The Islamic Connection.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a series of short videos explaining Islam and where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
It's really quite a shocker when you get into it.
Well, and as all the world's religions are kind of a shocker as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you know, we have the tendency to gloss over and ignore the bad parts and only accentuate the good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, the Islamic connection, according to this guy, is that it was originated by the Roman Catholic Church to drive out Christianity.
Now, that's an interesting concept.
Yeah, okay. So on one of the pages of this, it's a page that the guy's showing in his video, he states that this Muhammad was 25 years old, and he married a 40-year-old woman, and it stated her cousin, I can't remember the name, it's Warqua or something like that, was also a Roman Catholic Meccan. So this guy teamed up. He was an uneducated peasant, and she was a Roman Catholic nun. And they got together and formulated this religion. And he died in, I think it's 632 or something like that, and the Quran was written at 650 AD. So he was just a tool for an operation that was being run by the anti-Christian Roman Catholic Church of the time. But the videos are on YouTube. Like, you can just look up Walter Veith,
okay.
Veith.
All right, I'll take a look at him.
And Islamic Connection, and they have I think they have 10 parts on it.
Okay.
I found it very interesting because this friend of mine had sent it to me. And I always thought that this was something that originated because it was a racial thing, whereas it's not. It's a religious thing.
All right. Well, Ed, the best I can do is I can take a look at that. I am not familiar with the subject matter, so I can't talk about it.
Right.
All right. But I will take a look. And what I was saying earlier about how to deliver a message... I was reading my emails, and somebody had sent this over to me. And it was late last night, and I got one eyeball open and the other one starting to close. And I started to read this, and my eyes started to open. Well, who wrote this is a gentleman by the name of Henry Mackow. Now, if you don't know who Henry Mackow is, he used to be on this network. He has since retired. And Henry is a Jewish fellow, and he created the board game Scruples. Gee, I wonder how that's going in today's market. Yeah, I want to play a game about stuff we ain't got no more. But at any rate, The Agony of the Righteous Jew, Oscar Levy. Now, with my caption in here, Henry Mackow brings Oscar Levy's explanation of the start of communism. And I put a note here that Henry did programming with RBN until he retired a few years ago, a very learned Jew himself. And Oscar Levy was alive 1867, died in 1946. He was an English Jewish physician and scholar. And here's one of the quotes. We who have posed as saviors of the world, we who have even boasted of having given it the savior, we are today nothing else but the world's seducers, its destroyers, its incendiaries, its executioners. I look at this world and I shudder at its ghastliness. I shudder all the more as I know the spiritual authors of this ghastliness. And this was a letter that Oscar Levy wrote to George Pitt Rivers in July of 1920. And it was on a pamphlet that evidently that George Pitt Rivers had handed Mr. Oscar Levy. And this was the letter to Pitt Rivers. When you first handed me your MS, The World Significance of the Russian Revolution, you expressed a doubt about the propriety of its title. After a perusal of your work, I can assure you with the best of consciences that your misgivings were entirely without foundation. No better title than The World Significance of the Russian Revolution could have been chosen, for no event in any age will finally have more significance for one world than this one. We are still too near to see clearly this revolution, this portentous event, which was certainly one of the most intimate and therefore least obvious aims of the world conflagration, hidden as it was at first by the fire and smoke of national enthusiasm and patriotic antagonisms. Organized Jewry is behind Bolshevism, or Bolshevism, as I should say. For we are confronted with two questions which need answering and which, in my opinion, you have answered in your pamphlet. These questions are, how has the Soviet government, admittedly the government of the insignificant minority, succeeded not only in maintaining but in strengthening its position in Russia after 2.5 years of power? And, in parentheses, the answer to this question, which was not covered here, is vast sums of money which were poured into the Bolshevik revolutionaries' government, which was collapsing before the end of the first year. Second point, why has the Soviet government, in spite of its outward bestiality and brutal tyranny, succeeded in gaining the sympathies of an increasing number of people in this country? You rightly recognize that there is an ideology behind it, and you clearly diagnose it as an ancient ideology. There is nothing new under the sun. It is even nothing new that this sun rises in the east. For Bolshevism is a religion and a faith. How could these half-converted believers ever dream to vanquish the truthful and faithful of their own creed, these holy crusaders who had gathered round the red standard of the prophet Karl Marx and who fought under the daring guidance of experienced officers of the latter-day revolutions, the Jews? I'm touching here on a subject which, to judge from your own pamphlet, is perhaps more interesting to you than any other. In this, you are right. There is no race in the world, excuse me, more ignominic, more fatal, and therefore more interesting than the Jews. Every writer who, like yourself, it oppressed the subject of the present, embarrassed by its anxiety for the future, must try to elucidate the Jewish question and the bearing upon our age. For the question of the Jews and their influence on the world, past and present, cuts to the root of all things and should be discussed by every honest thinker, however bristling with difficulties it is, however complex the subject as well as the individuals of the race may be. For the Jews, you are aware, are sensitive community and thus very suspicious of any Gentile who tries to approach them with a critical mind. They are always inclined, and that on account of their terrible experiences, to denounce anyone who is not with them as against them, as tainted with medieval prejudice, as an intolerant antagonist of their faith and of their race. Nor could or would I deny that there is some evidence, some prima facie evidence, of this antagonistic attitude in your pamphlet. You pointed out, and with the fine indignation, the great danger that springs from the prevalence of Jews in finance and industry and from the preponderance of Jews in rebellion and revolution. You reveal with a great fervor the connection between collectivism and the immensely rich international finance, the democracy of cash values, as you call it, and the international collectivism of Karl Marx and Trotsky. The democracy of, by decoy races, he calls them, And all of this evil and misery, the economic as well as the political, you trace back to one source, to one Fons et Origno, I think this is Malorium, the Jews. Now, other Jews may vilify and crucify you for these outspoken views of yours. I myself shall abstain from joining the chorus of condemnations. I shall try to understand your opinions and your feelings, and having once understood them, as I think I have, I can defend you from the unjust attacks of my often too impetuous race. Starting to understand that this guy himself is a Jew that's responding to him. Keys to understanding history. Kill that break. But first of all, I have this to say. There is scarcely an event in modern Europe that cannot be traced back to the Jews. Take the Great War that appears to have come to an end. Ask yourself what were its causes and its reasons. You will find them in nationalism. You will at once answer that nationalism has nothing to do with the Jews, who are, as you have just proved to us, are the inventors of the international idea. But no less than the Bolshevik ecstasy, he calls it, and financial tyranny, can national bigotry, if I may call it so, he says, be finally followed back to the Jewish source? Are not they the inventors of the chosen people myth? And is not this obsession part and parcel of the political credo of every modern nation, however small and insignificant it may be? And then think of the history of nationalism. It started in our time as a reaction against Napoleon. Napoleon was an antagonist of the French Revolution. The French Revolution was the consequence of the German Reformation. The German Reformation was based upon crude Christianity. This kind of Christianity was invented, preached, and propagated by the Jews. Therefore, the Jews have made this war. Please do not think this is a joke. It only seems a joke, and behind it there lurks a gigantic truth. And it is this, that all later-day ideas and movements have originally sprung from a Jewish source, for the simple reason that the Semitic idea has finally conquered and entirely subdued this only apparently irreligious universe of ours. There is no doubt that the Jews regularly go one better or worse than the Gentile in whatever they do. There is no further doubt that their influence today justifies a very careful scrutiny and cannot possibly be viewed without serious alarm. On the subject of unconscious sinners, he writes, the great question, however, is whether the Jews are conscious or unconscious malefactors. I myself am firmly convinced that they are unconscious ones. But please do not think that I wish to exonerate them on that account. A conscious evildoer has my respect, for he knows at least what is good. An unconscious one, well, he needs the charity of Christ, a charity which is not mine, to be given for not knowing what he is doing. But there is my firm conviction, not the slightest doubt, that these revolutionary Jews do not know what they are doing. They are more unconscious sinners than voluntary evildoers. I'm glad to see that this is not an original observation of mine, but that you yourself have a strong foreboding about the Jews behind the victims or their own theories and principles. On page 39 of your pamphlet, must have been a heck of a pamphlet, you write, it may be the Jews have always been instruments in bringing about events that most heartily disapprove of, that maybe is the curse of the wandering Jew. If I had not the honor, as well as the pleasure, of knowing you personally, if I were not strongly aware of your passionate desire for light and the intense loathing of unfairness, this sentence, and this sentence alone, which tells the truth, will absolve you in my eyes from the odious charge of being a vulgar anti-Semite. Under the heading here of justified anti-Semitism, no, you are not a vulgar, you're not vulgar, you're a very enlightened critic of our race, for there is an anti-Semitism, I hope you trust, which does the Jews more justice than any blind philo-Semitism, than does that merely sentimental let-them-all-come liberalism, quote-unquote, which in itself is nothing but Semitic ideology over again, and thus you can be just to the Jews without being romantic about them. Now, you've noticed with alarm that the Jewish elements provide the driving forces of both communism and capitalism. from the material as well as the spiritual ruin of this world. But then you have, at the same time, the profound suspicion that the reason of all these extraordinary behaviors may be the intense idealism of the Jew. In this, you are perfectly right. The Jew, if caught by an idea, never thinks any more in watertight compartments as do the Teuton and the Anglo-Saxon peoples, whose right cerebral hemisphere never seems to know what the left twin brother is doing. He, the Jew, like the Russian, at once begins to practice what he preaches. He draws a logical conclusion from his tenets. He invariably acts upon his accepted principles. Now, it is from this quality, no doubt, that springs his mysterious force. That force which you no doubt condemn, but which you have to admire even in the Bolsheviks. And we must admire it, whether we are Jews or whether we're Christians, for have not these modern Jews remained true to type? Is there no parallel for them in history? Do they not go bitter even in our day? Who stirred up the people during the late war in Germany? Who pretended to have again the truth about which Pontius Pilate once shrugged his shoulders? Who pleaded for honesty and cleanliness in politics, that honesty which brings a smile to the lips of the experienced proconsul of today? Writers who were mostly Jews, Fried, Fernow, Latzko, Richard Grelling, and authors of J. Acruz, I think that is pronounced, who was killed and allowed himself to be killed for these very ideas and principles, men and women of the Jewish race, Haas, Levine, Luxembourg, Landerer, Kurt Eisner, the Prime Minister of Bavaria. From Moses to Marx, from Isaiah to Eisner, in practice and in theory, in idealism, in materialism, in philosophy, and in politics, they are today what they have always been, passionately devoted to their aims and to their purposes, and ready, nay, eager, to shed their last drop of blood for the realization of their visions. Mankind suffers for Jewish folly, and I've got to get through this quickly. But their visions are all wrong. Look where they have led the world to. Think that they have now had a fair trial 3,000 years standing. How much longer are you going to recommend them to us and inflict them upon us? And how do you propose to get us out of the morass into which you have led the world so disastrously astray? To this question, I have only one answer to give, and it is this. You are right. This reproach of yours, which I feel it certain, is at the bottom of your anti-Semitism. It's only too well justified, and upon this common ground, I'm quite willing to shake hands with you and defend against any accusation of promoting race hatred. If you are anti-Semite, I, the Semite, am an anti-Semite as well, and much more fervent than the one you are. We Jews have erred, my friend. We have most grievously erred, and it is there was truth in our error 3,000, 2,000, nay, 100 years ago. There is now nothing but falseness and madness, a madness that will produce an even greater misery, an even wider anarchy. I'm going to have to skip the last couple of paragraphs, but I think it's in the way we handle our subject matter, and we need to take the anger and the angst out of it to have adult conversations that don't get pigeonholed and to get past the mind filters that have been installed. I thank you for joining us today. We'll see you again tomorrow.
With recent